are going to be in Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Amen. All right, so let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you for our family here, our church family. And Lord, we do lift up Bobette's great-grandmother. You know the situation. Father, we just pray for wisdom and guidance and comfort. We do pray for Frankie, too, Lord, that he don't have those crazy kidney stones. Help him out, Father. And we pray for everyone on the back of our bulletin, all the needs. Some folks have financial needs, health needs, emotional needs. But we lift them all up to you and ask them that you'll bless them. You give them what they need, for you know all of our needs. Pray for our missionaries. So we're running around the country spreading the good news all over the world. And we do lift up our military. Help me teach this. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, so Luke chapter 6. I'm going to read it up here because I'm doing something a little bit different this morning. So let's read. It says, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. And pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other also. And for him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you. And from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. Everyone said amen. Amen. So, do people ever get on your nerves? Come on, don't act like I'm the only one. Do people ever get on your nerves? Okay. Have you ever gotten a resentment against a coworker, or a friend, or a family member, or a neighbor? So buckle up this morning, okay? I might be stepping on some toes. It's been stepping on my toes all week, so it's all good, right? Do you ever rewind the situation in your mind, thinking about what you should have said, or maybe what you shouldn't have said? No? Yes? Okay, let's go a little bit deeper. Have you ever laid in bed at night thinking about it? Does it, or has it ever hindered your sleep? Maybe you find it difficult to go to sleep that night because it's racing and racing in your brain. Have you ever let it go really far for a few days and to where it starts feeling like this is an obsession? I can't shake this. I'm going to tell you, this happens to every human being. Maybe on a small scale, sometimes on a big scale. My friends, this is called psychological warfare. I'll explain that in a minute. It's one of the oldest tricks of the enemy. He uses this tactic to try to steal our joy and our peace. Be careful, old Slewfoot. Don't let him get a wedge or a foothold, right? Some folks call it spiritual warfare. I agree with them. But I just know that the battle really is in our mind. See, the Bible says we don't fight against flesh and blood, but we do fight against the spirit things in the world and all that. I understand that. I really do. And I've preached it many times in the past. But one thing I know for sure is this affects our soul. this battle, this mental battle, this psychological warfare. It affects our soul if we're not careful. And I call it psychological warfare because let's take a minute and look at this word psychology, psychological. You know, a lot of Christian folks, sometimes I find they don't like that word because it's a secular word, which it's not. It's really not. If you look up the word psychology, what it means is it's the psyche. And even that word gets spooky, but it's not. That's just the trick of the devil. Psyche means this. It means, ready? It's that psyche, that psychological. It means our soul. That's what it's talking about, our soul. Because it has everything to do with our thoughts and our feelings. The study of psychology is really the study of the soul. Our mind, will, and our emotions. To keep it simple, it's all about our thoughts and our feelings. And spiritual warfare, psychological warfare, the thing that we're going to talk about this morning, affects how we think and how we feel. It affects how we feel, what we think about ourselves, about others, and about the world. So that's what we're going to talk about this morning. If the enemy can get a resentment foothold, he can temporarily steal our joy and our peace. If it's not dealt with, he can drive that wedge so deep that it will turn into bitterness, rejection, abandonment, and it can turn into hatred if we're not careful. I'll tell you a quick story. I'm going to try to change the story so you won't be able to figure out who I'm talking about, especially folks that listen on our website. Early 90s. Oh my Lord, that's a long time ago, wasn't it? I have young people in my counseling, you know, they'll say, you know, way back in the 80s. Oh, way back in the 70s. I'm like, wait a minute. I guess my age and older, we used to think way back in the 40s, you know, or something, you know, whatever. But, 20-something years ago, Lynn and I, you know, we had an experience in our church. It was, a leader in our church wound up leaving his wife, going with the choir director lady, you know, cleaning it up there. Y'all get the point, right? And it devastated us. You know, this man was discipling me and, you know, helping me and this kind of thing. And so I got a resentment, man. I was mad. I was frustrated. How could this happened? How could he do this to me, us, the church, that kind of thing? So I got a resentment, man. And for years and years, like he was from Alabama, and he was from Alabama, and he loved the Crimson Tide, right? So guess what? I started what? Hating the Crimson Tide. I wish they'd lose every time. Man, I don't like nothing from Alabama. That thing got deep into me, man. But one day, you know, the Lord got my attention about that, and I had to repent of that resentment and ask for forgiveness, you know, to move. But I did move through that. I still don't root for Alabama, just for practical purposes, right? but I know in my heart the resentment's not there anymore. Have you ever had a resentment to where, you know, things would remind you of those people and you avoided those things? It could be smells, colors. It could be music. Music's a big one because it stirs in our soul. Places where you avoided or you didn't like it and you knew deep down in your heart that resentment was because of the way that person treated you. Could have been a family member, a friend. It could be a coworker. It could be your mom and dad. I mean, it could be a lot of things, you know. So you might want to examine that, you know. Search my heart, oh Lord, and see if there's any unclean thing in me. It's very important. But anyway, the Lord dealt with me about that one. Amen. Aren't you guys glad? I'm glad. I got some more I'm working on too, but none of us are perfect, right? We all know people that we find difficult. Okay? One way or another, we do all have to face people that we consider to be difficult people. That's just life, isn't it? It's just life. Now, stay with me here. A difficult person may be one who is the opposite of you. That person may like to go fast, and you like to go what? Slow. If you hang around them long enough, you'll find things, it gets to be a challenge sometimes or difficult. Okay? Sometimes difficult people, you'll find them to be condescending. Argumentative. Belligerent. Selfish. Flippant. Insensitive. And simply downright rude. Those are difficult people. Difficult people to deal with. Difficult people seem to know just how to push your buttons. Please understand, that's the enemy. That's not that person. Most of the time, it's the enemy working. So the enemy knows what your weaknesses are. He knows what your past traumas are. He knows everything about you, pretty much. He knows your weak points. And sometimes he can manipulate people in this world to challenge you, try to knock you down. We have to be wise. We have to be careful. The enemy knows. Dealing with difficult people becomes an exercise of patience. Everybody with me? Patience, love, and grace. I like to call this opportunities for spiritual growth. When you face yourself trying to deal with difficult people, it is an opportunity for spiritual growth for you, for me. See, our response to difficult people should model the examples provided by Jesus. Everybody with me? If you're taking notes, Jesus surely dealt with difficult people while his time on earth, didn't he? Definitely. In our interactions with difficult people, listen closely, Jesus never displayed an attitude of harsh superiority. He never displayed dismissive pride. Rather, Jesus showed authority under control. You hear me on that one? Jesus dealt with people, difficult people, in a lot of different ways, but there was five ways that kind of stood out to me in this message, and here they are if you're taking notes. I'm not going to cover the scripture because I'd be here at 2 o'clock. So if you want to look these scriptures up later, I would highly suggest that. So five ways that Jesus dealt with difficult people. He remained silent. John 8:6. He remained silent. John 8:6. Number two, he asked questions. He asked questions. Mark 11:28-29. He asked questions. Mark 11:28-29. Third thing he did, he pointed them to Scripture. He pointed them to Scripture. Mark 10:2-3. Mark 10:2-3. I'm going to stop right there. I may have mentioned this to you before, but this was one of my favorite ones because this is something that I try to do a lot. Clients will ask me, people will ask me, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? And I'm not quite sure. That's what I'll say. Let's see what the Bible says. Because what I say, what I think about that don't matter too much, you know. It really doesn't matter too much. But let's see what the Bible says about that. They'll ask some crazy question. if I gave you my opinion, I'd probably mess you up. I'll say that kind of jokingly, I try not to give my opinion very much because I might mess you up. But let's see what the Bible says about that. And then I go that way they're not arguing against me, right? They're having to what? Argue against the Word of God. They're having to say, no, I don't believe the Word of God. And that's a whole other thing than Dallas's opinion. Because that don't mean very much, really, anyway, you know. All right, fourth thing Jesus did to try to deal with difficult people. He told a story. He told a story. It was Luke 7, 40 through 42. Luke 7, 40 through 42. He told a story. And the fifth thing that he did, okay, he used rebuke when necessary. He used rebuke when necessary. I would put that one on the bottom of your repertoire also. but sometimes, Jesus. Amen. So in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus was very specific about dealing with difficult people in love and in humility. And this is our verse for the day. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. And I'm going to stop right there and tell you another story. Pray for those who mistreat you. Everybody say that with me. Pray for those who mistreat you. One more time. Pray for those who mistreat you. That is a huge one. That is one that has absolutely worked for me and worked for people that I have taught this little technique or skill or principle, spiritual principle to. If someone gets on your nerves, if someone you're starting to get a resentment against them, immediately you should start doing what? Praying for them. Praying for them. Pray for them. I don't feel like it. So what? What does that got to do with anything? I don't feel like it. So what? Do it anyway. Be obedient. God's looking for obedience. He's not looking if you feel like it. Well, I don't like them. So what? Pray for them. Well, they get on my nerves. So what? Pray for them. Well, they made me mad. So what? Pray for them. This is an act of obedience. Because Jesus said to do this. I'm telling you, it really, really works. Well, it won't mean anything if I don't really feel it. Baloney. Just baloney. Do it anyway. Pray for them. And if you'll pray for them, you'll find that the Lord will soften your heart. Oh, I don't want my heart softened because I want to be mad at them. No, that's no way to be, is it? God will soften your heart as you begin to pray for them. I've seen this happen just like that in interventions with my clients. They'll come in office, my office, and about somebody. I said, go get them. Why? Just go get them. They come and sit in my office. I said, y'all okay? No. Yeah. I said, you want to get over this real quick? Yes. Pray for each other. Ready to go. That'll do it just like that. I was teaching some counselors this little technique. It works. I was like, okay, John or Fred, you pray for Barney. Well, I don't want to. Doesn't matter. You want to get over it? Yes. They were buddies, a week ago. Fred, all right, who wants to go first? Rock, paper, scissors. Fred loses. All right, Fred, exactly like this. Fred, you pray for Barney. Ready? Go. And I'll hear them squirming. And then they'll say something like, I don't want to. Doesn't matter. You want to get over it? You want this negative feeling to go away? Yes. Okay, pray for them. Ready to go. And then pretty soon you'll hear them starting to pray. And they'll pray. And it'll be a really kind of a dumb prayer, if there is a such thing. Can I be honest? I mean, you know, it don't sound right or anything. But it doesn't matter, because they're acting in obedience and they're obeying God. And pretty soon you hear it. I'll hear it. I'll peek up, you know, my little peeking prayer, peek up, and their bottom lip will be shaking. And then they'll be like, "I'm sorry, man. I didn't mean to be mad at you." And pretty soon they're hugging. The other guy's praying for him, and they're hugging, and it's good. Pray for those difficult people in your life. Pray for them. We must never give tit to tat, tit for tat. 1 Peter 3:9 says this: "Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing. Because to do this, we're called so that you might inherit a blessing." In dealing with difficult people, guys, we must guard against our own pride. Did everybody hear that? We must guard against our own pride. We cannot allow our own pride to rise up. We have to be careful with that. It's important to remember what Paul said in Romans 12:3. Listen closely. Ready? Romans 12:3. "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you," ready? "Do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought to, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you." And here's another one, Philippians 2:3-4. Philippians 2:3-4. Everybody ready? Says, "Don't be selfish. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others." It says, "Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take the interest of others too." That's not me. That's what the Bible says. So when we have to deal with difficult people, the best way, the scripture way, is to approach it with meekness. Not weakness. Meekness. Everybody? Amen? Love is the key. Everybody say that with me. Love is the key. One more time. Love is the key. We are to show God's love to everyone, even those that are difficult. The book of Proverbs, I'm going to run through some scriptures right here. I'm aware of the time. The book of Proverbs gives us much wisdom in dealing with difficult people. Proverbs 12:16, I'm going to hurry through these if you're writing it down. Proverbs 12:16 promotes patience in our relationships. Our relationships at home, our relationships with our children, our grandchildren, our coworkers, our family, our neighbors. Proverbs 12:16 says this: "A fool shows his frustration at once, but a prudent man overlooks an insult." A prudent man overlooks an insult. In other words, take it on the cheek. Even if you know someone may be wrong, take it on the cheek. Take it. Take it on the cheek. I know there's times we need to defend ourselves and take it for ourselves. I understand that. You know? Proverbs 23 says this. Proverbs 20, verse 3. It says, "Avoiding a fight is a mark of honor. Only fools insist on quarreling." Let it go. You don't have to be right. Talking to me too though. Don't have to be right. Proverbs 17:14 values foresight and respect. Listen to this. It says, "Starting a quarrel is like breaching a dam. So, drop the matter before a dispute breaks out." This is wisdom. Proverbs 22:24 says this, "Do not make friends with a hot-tempered person." Young folks, listen to this one. Do not make friends with a hot-tempered person. Do not associate with one that's easily angered. Be very careful. We have to be careful with people that we hang around. People that we associate with, we have to be very careful. Dealing with difficult people is unavoidable. And I'm getting ready to close. It's called life, isn't it? It's called life. When we deal with difficult people, it's easy to respond in the flesh if we're not careful. But that just brings out the worst in us. Would y'all agree? When we react or even respond in the flesh, well, I tell you what, it always ends bad. What we have to do, what I have to do, what we need to do is learn to crucify the flesh and sometimes just keep our mouth shut and let it go. Sometimes. How much better to allow our dealings with difficult people to bring out the fruit of the Spirit in us? How much better? Check our flesh, and allow the Holy Spirit to produce these fruit. And here's my prayer. By the grace of God, may we, including me, deal with difficult people in love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness, and to top it all off, self-control. May we extend the same love. May we extend the same love and grace and mercy that God extends to us. And may we be careful. May we be careful not to become the difficult person ourselves. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you. And as I say almost always, we thank you for your word, that it does encourage us, builds us up, corrects us, disciplines us. Sometimes it puts us in our place. Lord, we need it. We need it. We need your word, Father. We need your guidance, instruction, your wisdom. We need your love. Sometimes it's tough love. We love you. We love you so much. We thank you for the ones that are here today. If there's one person here today that's never accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, Father, during this song of invitation, I pray they'll come down. I'll be glad to talk to them and pray with them. I'll settle that this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.